Yesterday we started talking, of course, about sin, and we got through fundamentals about embarrassment, shame, about the difference between a sin and a transgression, and so on and so forth. So the let's take a look now. Let's start taking a look at the third chapter, of Bereishis, which is on page. On page 14 or 13, right? Vayushneim alumim, it says they were both, the fifth post of the Yeti, sorry. The fifth, Vanaposhaya alumi kol chayata sodet, asher asa Hashem elokim. Now the serpent was cunning beyond any beast of the field that Hashem, God, had made. This post is a very problematic post. Let's finish the whole post before we go back and deal with it. But Yomer Isra, he said to the woman, "Ask your man Elohim, what the kuni call eats a gun." Even though it says here, it says in English, but even though God said that you should not eat from any of the fruit of the garden, is that true? But Yomer Isra Nafash, the woman said back to the snake, "Mir, serpent, the tree eats a gun ochel. From the rest of the trees of the garden, we can eat." Now, there's a few issues in this passage. First of all, this is something which really is always bothering me. I don't really have a good answer for. Last night I was trying to think about an answer for this, which is the word arum. Is that word there? Arum, banachashaya arum? What do you mean in the last passage? What do you mean in yesterday? That word arum, what do you mean yesterday? Yesterday, what I mean? Well, in yesterday's process. Come on, guys.
We were talking about
3-1. Right here. In last process, it says, "By you say my rooming." Page 14.
All right, let me go back. I think I'm right.
Nobody had
to talk to
me. What? What does the word a room, which we said a room, what does the word a rooming mean in the third person? Naked, right. What does the word arum mean in this verse?
Cunning?
Right. It's cunning. I don't like that word. It's a negative word. But let's use it anyway. How does the word which means naked come to mean cunning? Do you see that?
Yeah.
Honestly, it's not. It's not a coincidence that one part of grass, the other, by the way, today is Afyomi. Today's Afyomi in the Talmud Bavli, there actually appears this, they talk about the pasuk which says, we say it in Mincha and Shabbos, just before Aleinu, Adam u'behema toshia Hashem, and man and God, you will redeem, man and animal, you redeem God. So the Gemara says there, it says, Adam u'behema, it doesn't mean man and animal, but it means the man who makes himself like an animal. And it says, it means the good person. A person says, or a person who's arum bedat, a person who's very smart, cunning, again, it's a term that you will see, but that's a negative term, a person who's very smart, but nevertheless, makes him act smoky to the aim. He makes himself like an animal, meaning he's humble. He doesn't go about blustering and taking strides in his wisdom, but rather he's humble, makes himself low as if he's an animal. So there, the word arum also means, not in a negative sense, here by the snake is the same means a negative sense, right, cunning. But there, the Gemara, in today's Afyomi, is using a positive sense. It's a person who's very, very smart, yet nevertheless chooses to be humble and not to take pride.
Shrewd also has something to do with it, doesn't it?
All these things are okay. You know, we're more words. You get the idea. It doesn't make the question any easier to answer. How does this word, how do these words become the same?
You're naked, you're smart.
You mean when you uncover
when you know someone.
Your knowledge or something, and you uncover something, then it shows how smart you are. And it shows what is behind the mask, and you can see something
It could be the greatest capacity to reveal. That's what you mean to say?
Maybe both of them, like, so, like, maybe, like, it's, like, the opposite of humbleness, so, like, showing no fear. You know what I mean? Like, because, like, in series, you know, it, like, sneers, you know what I mean? It's, like, more, like, covering yourself and being naked. You know, completely right, so opposite from that and cunning.
So we shouldn't be smart?
Well, I didn't look at fear and cunning in terms of, like, smart, but, like, cunning in terms of, like deceiving.
No, it's, I'm telling you, the mind doesn't say that way. The mind doesn't learn that way. The mind says, all of it means the person who's smart.
You know, sometimes people find people doing other things and they say that they caught them with their pants down. You know? So that... well, what I'm trying to say is...
I didn't know that your name. I've been using it a lot. Okay. Interesting. Oh, yes, go on.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that sometimes people use cunning, use this ability to find people doing something they shouldn't be doing, like catching them with their pants down, naked, you know? So, you know, that's one type of
thing. What's an interesting idea? I don't think that's really what the Gemara means. I certainly give you an A for creativity on that one, but I'm not so sure on truthfulness how I'd rate you on that. No, this is kind of the truth. I'm not sure on accuracy how it's written on that. Let's see if Rashi has to do something in the Gemara Chuli.
So you could read it that they were smart, a man and his wife, and they were not ashamed?
It could be. Obviously, there's something going on.
They were
on.
Smart enough not to sin, so they weren't ashamed.
It's interesting what he says here. Rashi, I didn't even notice what I did this morning. Listen to a fascinating Rashi.
Wow. Ooh, really gives us an idea.
Rashi's going on. The Gemara says, Shehen Arumim Yadat. They are cunning, shrewd, you know, sharp in their wisdom. Rashi says, Ke'olam Horisho.
Let me
see
what else
he says. They make themselves like an animal, meaning Dakoi Ruach. So this was smart of them. The people are rumin to God. They are sly, cunning, shrewd in their wisdom. Means that like Adam, like Adam. They make themselves like an animal. That Rashi says, they make themselves according to Ruach, humble of spirit. What did it say, Adam was Arum? Yeah.
That he was Arum?
Yeah.
But he was naked, not...
Right. But that's Ruach Arum. What's Rashi saying?
That Adam was smart?
What?
That Adam was smart?
Rashi's saying Adam was smart, yeah. But where did he get it from?
From
the word.
The only place it's described as smart was he describes him as naked.
Maybe he's smart enough to know that he shouldn't sin when you think it. You didn't realize he was naked.
He
didn't.
No, no, that's the
worst. Yeah.
He's smart enough to realize that it didn't matter if you were naked. Because there was no sin. He didn't do sin yet. So he's smart enough to realize that since I didn't sin, I'm not going to become like an animal and do improper thoughts or improper acts being naked. Therefore, I'm not ashamed to be naked. So he was intelligent to the extent that he could destroy his Yetzer Hara in a sense, because he would say, you know, I realize that we are children of God and that, you know, that we shouldn't act like animals, that we're above animals. So he was smart enough to realize that. So he was naked and not ashamed. So naked could be intelligent because he's intelligent to realize that being naked is who we are.
Well, it seems more like the absence of knowledge. Because it says when he ate from the Eitz HaDaat, from the tree of wisdom, then he became aware of his nakedness, right?
Ignorance is bliss.
It's a realization of, when you see the nakedness, it's a realization of what you didn't have before, right? Like, it's a realization of what's happening or what's true. Before I was closed and I couldn't see what was inside, and now that I'm naked, I realize all of a sudden what is inside. So it's an awareness, so to say, of making an awareness of what.
Okay, listen. fine. It could be, let's take two approaches to Rashi. It could be Rashi means, when he says the room that dies, means after he ate from the Eitz HaDaat, which is kind of what you were saying. It could be that mean that after he ate from the tree of knowledge, right? So now he knew that he was naked. He became wise. So when Rashi says the room in Kodam Arisha, he doesn't mean like Adam in his holier thing before he sinned, but rather after Adam ate from the tree, right, and he got knowledge, right? So now he's called wise. That wisdom entails all sorts of negative things as well, because he knows both good and bad. But now he became wise. As it puts on, nevertheless, even though he's wise, like Adam was after the sin, nevertheless, he makes himself humble. I don't, that's one way of looking at it, and I'm telling you for truth and advertising purposes, I don't like it, right? Because I don't think that Rashi would have said, but just remember, trying to describe somebody as being, there's a praiseworthy thing, right? One of us say, this is somebody who's a wonderful person. I'm going to say, yeah, he was just like Adam right after he said that. That doesn't sound to me, you know, could be, but that doesn't sound to me like such a wonderful praise of this individual.
I'm curious, when the Torah was translated into Greek and Latin and English and whatever, how were those translators, like, how did they realize that one instance of the word meant naked and the other instance of the word means cunning? Because even in the Christian Bibles, they have those translators as naked and cunning. How would they know?
I have
it's
no
the same
idea.
Word.
I don't know. That's
no, we're in
well, I guess the rabbis were the first ones to translate into another language, Greek. Carried over.
No, it looks like Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came into the land of Israel, wrote in 70 languages. I mean, Yeshua, when he came to the land of Israel, wrote in 70 languages.
Right. Either way, it was a Jew who first translated.
But I guess it was divine. Yeah.
Well, maybe the point is that naked being the basic state, that maybe it was a higher intelligence that was the basic state of man before even ate of the tree of good and the evil, until he, before he got that knowledge, maybe there's some more profound knowledge and smarts that he had before that was taken away.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And what I would say is like this. I would say, who said before it's been revealed? What?
Nicole,
did
you say?
Okay. So I would say like this, that before Adam sinned, before the sin, there were no barriers.
Between
God and man. The fact that man was naked and he didn't need clothes is also symbolic of the fact that there was no concealment. Nothing was concealed.
Yeah.
Right? What brought concealment? Man brought concealment upon himself. Right? A person's arm the God means that nothing is concealed from him. But he can reveal things, but nothing is concealed from that individual. Right? Nothing is concealed. So now, when it's talking about the snake, there's nothing, the nachash was orally. Here doesn't mean it was naked, right? It means he was smart. But in what way was he smart? What does it mean here that he was smart?
He understands the concept of
barriers. I have a question. Could these two things mean the same thing, like one is part of the other? For example, the cunning could mean that he hides something. And then the naked means the exact same word, being smart, but that it was smart such a man, he has nothing to hide. And the cunning person does everything so that
I think that I don't have
any
proof
of
that.
Of course,
I realize there was no barrier. He was a thing. But the snake was cunning in the sense that it transmits still on them the doubt that there was a barrier between them and God. And which was exactly the same. The snake tried to deceive them. By trying to say that there was a barrier, there was something that they could not do.
Mm-hmm. So I think by the wrong what the line Mordechai is saying is pretty good. That the snake was oral in the sense that he too was aware of what was supposed to be going on. Mm-hmm. Things weren't concealed before him. Yet nevertheless he decided he's going to try and undermine things and do something about it. There's a tremendous difference of opinion, which is important before we go on to about the snake, between the Talmudists and the Kabbalists. Mm-hmm. The Talmudists told that the snake was a snake. And I'll tell you what that means.
A snake that flew on the ground, or we're talking about one that ate creature? A big snake. No, two-headed creature. But according to the tabloid, the snake, the serpent, was the Yetzirah incarnate, was the evil incarnation in the physical form.
That's a very, very big difference of opinion, right? So, but according to, so you really have to place everything in this context of
Well, it's weird. Doesn't Rashi say he had desires for Eve also? You know, more
animals
doesn't have desires for.
How do you know? You've ever been an animal?
It doesn't matter.
There's only been an animal before they were cursed. I mean, who knows? So this is, look, he was able to talk. So it's a different kind of animal, right?
That's the same opinion to me. Because if you say that it's the Yetzirah incarnate, then it's Yetzirah incarnate. He's there because he's supposed to be the Yetzirah and do what he's supposed to do. If you say that he's a real snake that could talk, and he was working, and God, you know, he's not a human, so he doesn't have free will, so he's an agent of God, he's an animal, he works on predetermination. Therefore, God is directing the snake to do this. Therefore, it's still a snake.
What
is that snake?
What an assumption!
So the snake didn't have free will?
Yeah, maybe who made you assume that?
I thought animals don't have free
will. Yeah. Now they don't.
Oh, but they could have.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So now we're talking.
But then the snake. So then we're supposed to be in paradise, but because the snake had free will and decided to do a thing.
Only men receive telemetry, right? That's how it seems for real.
It's true what he's saying about the beginning, because when Hashem made man, he said that no, he wanted to describe
for real, right?
The title of those brothers said that he made him a speaking being,
right?
That regular speaking animal had to take part in talk.
But without a Yetzirah, is there a choice to do evil? Like, the snake is choosing to...
Let me read you what's again. This is a Talmudic view, okay? This is not the Kabbalistic view. The Talmud here, there's a tractate called Ovis Rabbi Nosson. Ovis Rabbi Nosson is a tractate of Brisos. It's not... It has no Gemara on it. It's not Mishnayot. It's a series of brises, meaning Hanaic material which didn't get into the Mishnah. Maseches Avos is derived from Avos Rabbi Nosson. You know, it's an extract of that thought, so to speak. Avos Rabbi Nosson. What? Yeah. So the Avos Rabbi Nosson is a much vaster, you know, resource which has many more stories. So I don't want to spend much time doing it. I'm going to go through more tomorrow. But just to read you a couple of lines. First of all, it says, the long discussion about what Adam did wrong in his relationship with Chava, and we will talk about that. But then he says an interesting thing about the Nachash. I mean, many interesting things, but just to read you what happened here, he says, but also Shah, at that time, right, Hayat Nachash HaRasha, like Para Rasha, there was the snake, the evil snake, not how Esau believed, but he took counsel in his heart. What does that mean he had?
Choice,
right? Omar, he said, Holyo, the Adiokol Hashus Adam, since I can't cause man to stumble, Erech Hashus Chava, I'm going to attack through Chava, right? And Halach, the Yoshav Ezra, he went and had a long conversation with her, and so on and so forth. So the Gemara, what Ovis Rabbi Nosson actually holds, it seems, it's not it seems, that the Nanavash was actually a sentient creature who had free will and chose to do this. And were he not to have sinned, then he would have been like a servant class, I guess, to man. Because man would have been the ruler, and the Nanavash would have been like the second in command, and so on and so forth throughout all generations. But because he chose to sin, he lost that position. Okay? We'll come back to this tomorrow.
Thank you.